find a club where you enjoy the environment. I think a lot of people will move to these big clubs because they'll get the better training and they'll get this and that. But that might not be the environment you enjoy, and no one swims well in a bad environment. London 2012, I didn't see people like me swim. I remember watching the swimming. I remember watching Ellie Simmons and Ellie Robinson. But you didn't see my classification, which I think is really good for our country now, because we have someone in these lower classifications, so people out there can see, like, this is kind of a possibility for people. I think it will be really exciting for Paris next year to, like, swim in front of that crowd, because I've done a Paralympics, but I haven't done a Paralympics.
That's true.
Yeah. I've done it, but I've not done it.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Propulsion Swimming Podcast. As you just heard, this week we are speaking to an exceptional para-athlete in the world of British swimming, in the world of world swimming, Ellie Challis.
Yeah, we've got ourselves one of the top British para-swimmers on this week. She's really making waves on the international scene right now, and I can't wait to see how she gets on in the future. This episode is a deep dive into Ellie's swim journey so far, taking a look back at her swims last summer and her plans heading into trials and beyond.
Yeah, absolutely. And now there's some really fun messages in this podcast. A lot of enjoyment. She comes across as a very cheery, happy person. But deep down, I think there's one hell of a competitive streak in her, especially when you think she won 6 para world medals last summer. She is formidable in the swimming pool, and we can't wait to jump into this week's episode. Ellie, thank you so much for coming on today. How are things going with you in terms of, like, preparation for how the year's going, or maybe just your general Tuesday night?
Well, that's a big complicated one. Thank you for having me, but this year has been a bit of a mess so far. I had surgery 3 weeks ago, so it's not been the ideal. I trained 2 weeks since World Championships in August. My season started, will start next week to me.
Will start, okay.
Will start, hasn't started. I don't count the 2 weeks I did and then I took 10 weeks off. By double leg surgery, which is like a normal thing for people that have meningitis, and just a normal thing for, like, amputees from different things. So yeah, I had surgery, but I got back in the pool a week ago, but it's not much. It's just like, just get in, try and do a bit and see what happens.
How do you feel when it's that sort of situation leading into what next year is the big year, isn't it? Are you a little bit nervous, or is it like, the coach has a plan?
I was in the same situation before Tokyo. I had surgery 5 months before. I had surgery in April, got back in the pool in May, and raced at the Paralympics in the end of August. So I've done this before. This time I'm 10 months out. So
okay.
Is this now normality every time, like, before the Paralympics, like, surgery, then go?
Yep. This is the third time I've had this surgery. The first one was 2016. I weren't even swimming then, but 2016. My second one was 2021. And my third was 2023. So...
Okay.
Oh, you're doing well with the Olympic cycles there, aren't
you? Somehow my body's planned this.
So why don't we kick things off then from that conversation to talking about your disability and your classification, maybe to make people aware who don't know enough about you, because they really should. So your S3 is how you predominantly
I'm an S3, SB2, SM3. So S is just free, back and fly. SB is breaststroke. SM is medley. Because sometimes your breaststroke classification can be, like, two lower than your freestyle. Just depends on your disability. But I am a quadruple amputee from meningitis B. I had that at 16 months old. And it took a long time for me to learn to swim. But at the age of, like, 8, 9, I learned to swim. And I kind of went from there. And the thing of the classification system is confusing. I sometimes don't understand it myself. A lot of my family and friends that watch my races don't understand it. It's never going to be perfect, to be fair. There's so many controversies situations in the classification system, just like you get in every sport, but it just is how it is, and you've got to try not to focus on that too much and just know these people do their job and they try and do it the best they can. We've had athletes on our team that's had classifications questioned. It's just a thing of para swimming. So the classifications work in, we go from S1 to S14. So S1 to 10 is physical. S11 to 13 is visual, and 14 is intellectual. So we have a wide range. And currently our team has a lot of S14s, which is the highest, and I am the lowest our team has at the moment.
Okay.
But so why... the lower the number, the more impaired you are.
So you're going to have to explain it to a few of our listeners. So you say you're an S3, but also an SB2. So why, in their minds, they might see that as two different classifications, which it is, but why are you lower on breaststroke than you are on freestyle backstroke?
So if your impairment affects mainly your arms, you'll probably have a classification the same as your freestyle for breaststroke, because breaststroke is mostly legs. If your impairment is legs, then you'll most likely have a lower breaststroke classification, because it will affect breaststroke more. And that's where you get the whole situation of the medley. At Worlds, in our 150 medley, we had every combination of classification you could have up there, which was very strange. I've not seen that myself. It's definitely happened, but I've not seen it. So I was we had a 3-3-3. We had a 3-2-3, which is me. And then we had a 4-2-3.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, it was wild.
Where did swimming come into your journey from when you say your recovery as an 16-month-old? Why did your parents get you into swimming?
So we were always on, we were very lucky to always go on a summer holiday to like Spain or somewhere. So being in the pool was just natural. It was just normal for me. My twin sister learned to swim at 4. I was just very delayed. It took a lot longer. So my dad just wanted me to be safe. It took a lot of years for me to just feel confident in the water, let alone him feel confident leaving me in the water. He'd have to, like, I used to only wear one pair of armbands from this place in Spain. So he used to have to contact them to send me them, because they're the only ones I trust. Just because I put on a different pair one time with sun cream on and they slipped off my arms. And from that day, I wore one pair. And the photo is online somewhere. I dread to think how bad it is. But it's like, I'm like this in my mind with a lot of things. If I like something, I like something, and that is it. I don't change it for anything. And that's just with everything in life, to be fair. But yeah, it was just really to be safe. My dad used to have to like hang around like a couple meters from me and my friends on holiday, just to let me kind of be a child, but also because I couldn't swim, he had to be there. But we never really thought it would be something. We never thought it'd get to this level. We didn't think it would get to a level where he would just feel safe for me to just be in a pool.
So how did you learn how to swim? Because you've got severe impairments on all four limbs. I'm trying to imagine it, but I can't. So like when you're like 5, for example, what did the teacher do exactly to help you develop?
So my dad taught me to swim. My dad took me swimming.
Oh, wow.
Two to three times a week for 3 years.
Wow.
Three years. Awesome. And I'd already like done, he's been taking me all my life. Like it was something he swims in, like he liked swimming himself. So it's something we've always done. But it was like physio for me also to be out my chair moving. But it took him two to three times a week, every week for 3 years to get me to swim. And it was really just like, once it kind of clicks in your head that you can do it, you're fine. But for me, there wasn't people in Rio in 2016. I didn't see people like me swim. London 2012, I didn't see people like me swim. I remember watching the swimming. I remember watching Ellie Simmons and Ellie Robinson. But you didn't see my classification, which I think is really good for our country now, because we have someone in these lower classifications. So people out there can see, like, this is kind of a possibility for people. And I think swimming is quite an inclusive kind of sport. We have a range of disabilities, which isn't seen in most sports. It was a long time.
Do you take pride on, like you just said, there wasn't anyone for you to look up to? Obviously, you're still really young, like in the sport of swimming. Do you take pride in being a little bit of a face for other people to inspire them?
I don't really think about it like that, but okay. I just hope it, like, so for me, the first time I saw someone like me swim was at a charity event. I've always been a part of, like, different men's charities and a charity called Limpower that is a charity that gets kids together and adults to do loads of different sports. And swimming wasn't a thing then. They didn't have swimming on their program. Obviously, it's a bit difficult when you're doing 30-minute activities to get swimming in there with the getting change and stuff. Like, when families have multiple kids and stuff, that's just not possible. But we all used to, like, beg our parents at the end of the day to let us go swimming. And, like, it was at Stoke Mandeville, and we used to buy swimming costumes and swimming stuff there. Well, I think the parents got to know after a year, bring the swim stuff. And that I saw a girl there swim that had the same impairments than me, and it was just after that it kind of, like, all clicked. But I was very lucky in where I lived. I was approached by a disability swim club, which, after moving to Manchester now, I've realised that it's not a thing. That it's not a thing anywhere. So I was very lucky to have Colchester Phoenix to really support me. I did one-to-one lessons there for a long time. And I was terrible. I loved the water. I didn't like deep water. So at the pool upstairs at the Colchester Leisure Centre, where the flags ended at the 25 end, there was a diving pit after that, after the boom. And at the flags, it like started to slope down. I used to turn around at the flags because I was like, no, that's too deep for me. I'm not doing that. I really didn't like deep water at all. But somehow I've ended up in this sport.
You enjoyed swimming from the get-go, because that's what you kind of do. You latch onto these sort of things to enjoy it. But what was the point where you realised, actually, this swimming is for me. This is what I want to be doing.
I didn't. I just think I just enjoyed it. Like, I found the trainings, yeah, it's all right. But it's the racing. I enjoy the racing, and I enjoy competing against people and just being there with friends. And just, like, I think it's just a great atmosphere. So I just really enjoyed that part of it. And it was in Glasgow in 2019. I had no clue that the competition was trials for world championships. I had no clue. I was 15 years old. I'd just turned 15 the month before. I got my international classification, which I was like, oh, this is cool. I can race the international people. And there was a girl in my class there, which is the first time I got to race someone in my class, which was really strange. Really strange for me. After racing younger able-bodied swimmers all my life, it was really strange to race someone the same classification. And I also dropped classification when I went from my national to international. It's obviously international and national are very different because the level that the classifiers have to, like, how experienced the classifiers are. International, they're much more experienced in it. So I dropped classification. I did a world record. I did a European record, and I did like 6 British records or something like that. I then went home. I went to work experience week with my physio, and I was just like with a patient, and my phone is just blowing up, and I'm like, what is going on? Next minute, I turn my phone on when the patient leaves, and I'm selected for world championships. And I'm like, oh, like I was on a British, like I was on a Swim England program. I was on the British Swimming Academy, but like that was all fine. I didn't know the competition was trials for worlds though. And then I was selected as a wild card, and I was like, oh, this is crazy. I had a I had a 3-week holiday to America, came back like 5 days before World started, met the team after coming like 3 days being back in the UK, like getting over the jet lag and stuff. And I just enjoyed my time there, and I ended up getting a bronze medal, which was maybe one of the most craziest experiences ever, because when you go into a race, this is my fault. I've not shared this online before, but in my head, I was in the call room and everyone on the team had a medal. And I was like, no, not going to be me. I'm not going to be that person. And then I got in and I was like, oh, yeah, that went quite well. I hit a lane rope. You know, who can swim backstroke straight? Not me.
Yeah.
But yeah, and it just kind of happened. And I remember, like, I think one of the like best moments was like going back to the like team area and everyone being so excited and my coach being so excited because we didn't expect anything. I didn't expect to be there, let alone medal. I was happy to make finals and stuff. I was just enjoying my time. But it just fell into place for me that day, and I PB'd when I needed to PB after obviously spending 3 weeks in America, training on and off, eating burgers.
That's some food story. Of an athlete.
Yeah.
It was a wild, wild time.
Oh, what is it about the enjoyment of racing and performing well that you get the most out of? Because I've seen you, I saw you at the Bipsum meet, I think it was, and you just had a massive smile on your face for the whole weekend then.
I have friends from para swimming that I see 3 times a year. So okay. I massively look forward to Bipsum, Winter Nationals, and British Summers. I massively look forward to them events, to see them friends. And I'm very lucky this year I've had a friend that I normally only see like twice a year move to Manchester with me, so it's really crazy to like see him all the time, because I'm used to seeing him twice a year and now I see him every day and train with him, which is really strange. But we've got like the 3 of us have a really close group, and I have friends outside of there just from being on a program at 11, 12 years old, a Swim England program. I met them through this, and it's insane to see like how close we've got. We take a picture since 2019. We've taken a trio picture every year. So we've got us like growing up together, and we stand in the same order as well.
That's quite cool.
And I hope to make that last a bit longer as well. It's that. It's just enjoyment. I enjoy the evenings when we go out for meals together, and it's just funny. It's just a great time, to be fair. Nothing. Like, I enjoy the racing and like I love that part, but I also love the social aspect you can get of it.
Last summer, the one that's just been, you had the opportunity that Worlds were actually in this country. They were in Manchester. So what was that like for you? Because from a performance side, you came away with 3 golds, 2 silvers, 1 bronze. It was one of the best meets for the whole of the British swimming team from yourself. Could you have kind of hoped for a meet that good?
I'd kind of thought I'd do well.
Okay.
There was one that I was like, oh, I don't know. But in my head, I'd planned who I was giving my teddies to, and I needed that extra one. Because I had one of the friends I only see twice a year, Fern. I had her. She came to see me swim. I had my sister from Dubai was here. I had a little girl that I met through the charity Lynn Power come to see me swim. And obviously I wanted one for myself. I have a competitor, Leanne Smith, that has been really ill the last year. And she managed to get herself there, and she didn't expect a medal. And I was like, oh, if I could like give one to her, that would be really special. Because again, she is the girl I raced back in 2019, the first ever person in my classification. And we've shared a podium at every meet except from Tokyo. So every World Championships, we shared a podium. And I think one of the most special moments for me at Worlds was to see her get a bronze. I was in the pool in the lane next to her. And obviously she was entered faster times than she could do at the time because of her illness. But it was nice because we wasn't competitors. we've always been really nice to each other, and it was just nice to see her get a medal and be so happy. I'd given her my B the day before, but I'm not bothered about that. She can give it away if she wanted to. I let her keep it. I didn't ask for it back. But yeah, like, I think that was a special moment to see her medal after not expecting anything. And she couldn't see the board, so I got to be the one to tell her. So we got to, like, share that moment, which was really nice. And, like, she was cheering me on to get as close as possible to the Spanish in the 100 free. But I think going into Worlds, from the year before, I'd done a packed schedule. I did that. I knew what that was like. But in 2022, I didn't have entry times for the 150 IM or the 200 free because I hadn't swum them since 2019 because my focus was the 50 back 100 free. So I made sure I got my entry times and I went into the events just to do my best. I knew in the medley, which was one of my favourite swims, I think, from the event, because I knew there was so, like, I needed a 7 second PB to medal to be within 3 or 4. And I did exactly that. And I knew I hadn't swum it since December, but before that was 2019. So I knew my individual strokes had gone on. I didn't know if I could be able to put it all together in that medley to get the result I needed. But it was a weird one because I started on the backstroke and I got ahead. And then I went on the breaststroke and the others are a higher breaststroke class than me. So I expected to be passed. That's when I got to like 15 to the wall and I was like, there's no one here. Like, what's happening? And unfortunate for her, she didn't have a great race. But I did a 7 second PB, which was insane.
That's pretty big. Yeah, that's pretty big.
Yeah.
I mean, your results in recent years have steadily been progressing, getting quicker and quicker. Is there a success? Is there a secret to your success, or is it simply just hard work now paying off?
I think, you know, I just enjoy it. I think that's a big thing. People, I think swimmers now at a young age are very much getting serious too quickly. That's not my type of thing. When I'm at a world championships and I'm trying to get to my cool room time, like, don't talk to me. But any other time, like, I'm very chill. Like, when I get to the cool room, I'm very chill, just kind of like dancing around, doing whatever. Sometimes I lay on the floor and watch TikToks. Like,
that relaxed. Wow, okay.
Yeah. I'm just like chill. There's nothing to.
You never feel any pressure whatsoever.
No.
That's kind of a nice place to be in.
It's pressure on myself, which I did in 2019, and I performed quite well to that. I think it will be really exciting for Paris next year to like swim in front of that crowd because I've done a Paralympics, but I haven't done a Paralympics.
That's true.
Yeah. I've done it, but I've not done it.
Now, before you get to Paris, I think from our understanding, this is probably going to be announced like in a few days' time when we're recording this. But when this goes live, it will be announced. Mm. But the Olympic and Paralympic trials are going to be combined into like one event in London, as far as I'm aware. What's kind of your thoughts on doing it as a combined meet? Do you think it will like help build up the para profile a little bit more?
I definitely think it will, and it will. I quite enjoy racing with people watching. I don't rely on that, but I very much feed off that, especially like day 7, I'm tired kind of thing. Like, that really helps me. But I will just say, anyone listening, whether you're at British Summers or Trials, respect the para swimming lane. Because it is my most hated thing. When able-bodied swimmers are sitting in the para lane and I'm trying to warm up, I can't do a 50 without stopping.
Okay.
It is frustrating. So anyone listening, please respect the para swimming lane because we are also trying to warm up like everyone else. But I think the event in total will be exciting, different. I'm not sure how it's going to be run. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I'm not sure on the exact running on of it either. Most para meets in this country are done on like it's points, isn't it? So yeah. You don't race against your own kind of classification. What's that like? Because I can imagine it's quite hard for someone who is the lowest classification in this country, kind of having a lot of people swim away from you.
So I'm kind of used to it because there's no one else in the country in my class, female. I'm used to swimming against people that are just going to swim off. I obviously did it in the Manchester meets in lockdown. I'm used to it at this point. I'm used to swimming my own races, and I think that's why I'm still able to perform in smaller competitions. Because I don't rely on having to race someone. Sometimes racing someone can be really good for you. Sometimes it can be really bad. But I think now in para swimming, since COVID, we've had a lot of new S6, S7, S8s, S9s that are younger. So I'm racing them, but they're like 13. But they're a higher classification, but they're younger. So we're doing similar times. So that's been quite interesting since COVID to go to nationals and stuff and have them people there to race. Now I can do World Series events. It's obviously easier to race someone, but I do race myself a lot. So I don't know how they're going to do it at trials in who they're going to allow into the meet. Will I have someone to race? Will I not?
You don't know.
I don't know.
Literally found out on the day, I think.
Probably.
What's the easiest way for you to prepare for going from not racing someone to racing someone? Because it's something that an able-bodied swimmer just doesn't have to deal with. So you go from like time trials to actually having someone literally in the lane next to you. Is there a big difference?
No, because when I race myself, I'm telling myself there's someone there.
Okay.
All right, okay.
So I do it in training. I do it whenever. Like, I'll be like, she's right next to you. She's right next to you. She's just ahead. She's just ahead. I like just tell myself kind of like they're there. And like maybe if it's like the last 25 of my 100 or something like that, just to kind of like get me to like go a bit more.
You keep saying that everything's like enjoyment, but there's a very big competitive streak here. I can feel it.
Yes.
You have to be at this level, don't you? Otherwise you're not going to come away with any silverware or, you know, you're not going to PB in any sort of way. So I think, especially when like I believe that our para team right now is probably the strongest it's ever been. And so to be able to get on a team, you've actually got to start performing. So
agreed.
I think, we're as much as you enjoy it, you do have to compete and have a competitive side of you as well.
Yeah,
I think as a team, we're getting there. And like with the point system racing, I quite enjoy it.
Okay.
Because it allows me to still be competitive when I'm not racing someone. It still allows me to have a reason to push to get something instead of being like, oh, I'm racing myself, I'm going to come last. Great. Like, I don't have any reason then to try. Where, like, even in points, I still have, even though I know they're swimming off, I still have a reason. I think one of the strangest races I did this year, especially, was Berlin. I did the 50 breaststroke in Berlin, and I was standing next to, I think she's S9, girl called Chantel, and never, like, I know her name, had her on Instagram, never raced against her. These are all higher classes. My class doesn't often swim breaststroke, but it's my favourite. And it was just strange, because I hadn't swum well in the heat. I just, like, I made the final, didn't think anything of it. I was like, okay, like, I don't know, it'll be all right. Like, I wasn't expecting medal or anything. I wasn't really on decent times. My breaststroke's very on and off. It's either on or it's not. There's no medal. There's no, oh, that's kind of decent. No. It's either great or tragic. So I was like, oh, like, I'll just go swim it. And I swam, and they all swam off. And it, to me, felt like a really hard race. And I touched the wall. And the time was, decent compared to where I normally sit on my breaststroke, around, like, 110. Anything under 110 at this point, I'm happy with, even though my PB's at 104. I normally sit around 110 quite often, and it's been a bit of a stuck, been a bit stuck there for a while. And I got second. And it was the strangest experience to me because it was such a hard race. Mm. I felt like I swam so slow. And I watched all these fast swimmers, like, touch when I'm halfway down the pool. It was probably one of the strangest I've had. And very awkward after, too. I got in the lift with Chantelle, who got third. But she went in ahead of me. And she was like, oh, well done. And I was like, thanks, where did you come? And she was like, third. And I was like, oh, okay. This is not an awkward situation.
You say breaststroke is your favourite stroke. And you say that you want to target quite a lot of them at trials. Do you have a preferred stroke? Like, because you hit British records almost every time you swim all the time. But do you, like, target a specific stroke or events? You say breaststroke, but do you do medley as well? Which one do you target the most?
Breaststroke is my favourite. I've always been the best at breaststroke, but it's not a Paralympic event. So in paraswimming, we have world events and Paralympic events. If it's a Paralympic event, it will be a world event. But world has extra. So up until 2022, I only had two world events. In 2022 at world, I had six events, which was insane. And I got my breaststroke for the first time ever, which was like, great. Except from I ripped three suits, just about made it to the race, did a world record. It was a great moment. but it's strange. So I came into paraswimming with breaststroke being my favourite and my main event. But I've had to learn to swim 100 free and 50 back. That's what I've had to put focus in because I wasn't as good in them. My backstroke was there. It wasn't the best. My freestyle has had major, major development. In 2020, my qualifying time for Tokyo in 2020 was a 207. And I had done 207 in Jan in 2020 at like regionals or counties, whatever it was. I then was like, oh, I could qualify, like it might happen. I now swim a 142.
Well, it's quite a big drop, isn't it? It's all right.
Do you know why there's these specific, like, Paralympic events compared to world events? Do you know what makes that decision?
It's just world power swimming, whatever they can put, whatever they think is gonna get the athletes in.
Yeah.
I suppose there's no difference.
Obviously, it starts with a world event and it will hopefully go to a Paralympic event. I'm hoping in LA I get added an event. I think it will be the 53. I'm obviously hoping for my breaststroke because I feel like it's going to be like when I stop swimming, they're going to add my event in or something like that.
Come out, that'd be difficult, wouldn't it?
Yeah. it's just paraswimming. You've just got to learn how to deal with it. And that's why I think you find paraswimmers don't specify stroke, especially now. I think a lot of like the older ones did. Obviously, you have Scott Quinn that was all breaststroke. Where now you can't specify. You can be good at one, but you need to be decent at all because 1 year it's there, 1 year it's not.
I'm going to guess it could take a big hit on like your funding as well and how you're looked at in like a British swimming sense if suddenly you've targeted breaststroke your whole life and breaststroke's no longer a Paralympic event or it never was.
Yeah, they don't look at world events. Look at the Paris event. So you have to be good at a Paris event to get funded. That's just how it is.
That sounds just like the world champs at Able Bodies with all the 50 swims. Like there's no 50s at Worlds, is there? It's the same sort of thing, I imagine.
No, there's 50s at Worlds, but not at the Olympics.
Why?
That's just how it is. Good question. I don't know.
Good question.
It's a simple answer. That's a bigger question itself.
Yeah.
Like, they should be added.
Yeah, there's a lot of questionable things. There's a lot of questionable things for power swimming like that. We're like, why did you choose that?
So if we start looking ahead towards Paris, then I'm really interested because you haven't started your training yet, but let's take a little bit of a deep dive into how training works for you. So with your disability, what differences are there in terms of your training to an able body swimmer, if you know what an able body swimmer does day in, day out?
So obviously my gym looks extremely different. I don't do the normal things everyone else does. It looks very different, which is, it can be fun, it can be quite interesting, especially when you have someone else covering gym and they're like, what am I doing? Training, like swim wise we have to be very careful. My shoulders, I don't kick on freestyle or backstroke, which is obviously what you mainly swim in training, so I have to be very careful of my shoulders. And say like an average, I swim in my 50 back race, I swim 130 strokes in a 50 back.
Okay.
In training, probably like 95. Okay. So my 50 is a long way for an able body swimmer. So we just have to be careful on meters and how we manage it all, because my shoulders can flare up pretty quick.
So how many hours in the pool would you usually be doing a week?
I do between 6 and 8 sessions.
Okay.
Which can be changed depending on shoulders and soreness and stuff, because if it gets too much, the only thing that can stop it normally is not swimming, which is not what you want. So sometimes taking some meters away, a session away, will actually just keep me in the pool in general.
Is there anything else you can do to like improve your fitness out of the pool? Because I know we spoke to Tully Kearney and she does like frame running because
I started this year doing a bit of ski erg on the side, but again, that's still shoulders. But I do snowboarding.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I do a snowboarding lesson every Wednesday, which is my favourite part of my week, I think. I enjoy that day very much. I go for an hour, and it's mainly for my hips, because I'm sitting in my wheelchair, my hips are always at 90 degree angle, so they, I don't get, is it 90? I don't, my hips don't go fully straight, which is obviously not good for swimming. That's just drag. So I do snowboarding as a bit of physio, and just a bit something different, something off my shoulders to just, it's good for my core, my back, my hips, my legs. It's good for all that stuff. And it's also a lot of fun.
I imagine the communication must be so key in your sort of triangle. You know, you've got the swimmer, maybe parents as well, but the coaches, but also you've got the physio in there, the people who do the rehab. There has to be like a big connection. But how do these people get the best out of you? If, let's say, your shoulders are flaring up, like what do they do on a day-to-day basis?
I'm very lucky that I have a coach that's always there. He doesn't miss a session. So it's very easy to be like, my shoulders, or like, he's a new coach. I've only had him for a year. So I moved to Manchester at 16 in 2020. To move to the centre in Manchester, because I needed a bit more specific training. An able-bodied club doesn't do it for me. I need specifics, or I will just end up injured. And my, even though the disability club was amazing to get me to learn to swim, I needed more. It got to a point where the pool time wasn't enough, so I was like double clubbing, which I know quite a lot of swimmers do do. And I just needed to be in one place, one coach, one, like, and I didn't have gym at home. So that's all been new the last couple of years. So I moved to Manchester. I've had a range of coaches since being here. And now I'm with my coach here, Aled. We've got quite a young training group now, which is very like odd, because I came in as the youngest 3 years ago. And now I'm like the third oldest, like I'm middle. I'm not the youngest anymore, and I was the youngest on the GB team because of COVID and stuff. I was the youngest for like 3 years. They had no one younger than me, so it's been quite nice now not to be youngest. But I have a coach who's always at the sessions. He's never not there, so it's very easy, and we like trust each other that if I say something's hurting, I'm not saying it to
get out.
You know, like we all did it when we were younger and been like, oh, I need toilet. Got hiding in the toilet.
Oh, my goggles. Yeah, Scott was really good at that.
I was, that was me.
Goggles breaking.
Scott was that guy. Yeah.
I've still got a bad shoulder from it these days.
What, from fixing your goggles?
No, it was the one that always I needed to get out of the water for.
Yeah.
It's always there just in case I need to skip a session.
Ah, dear. Shocking.
So Paris then, what was the goal going into Paris for you?
I would like two medals.
Two medals?
Two medals.
Any colour?
Well, gold, obviously.
Just two medals. Okay. Power swimming was very strange. We have people come out of nowhere. So I'd obviously love to get gold again in backstroke like I did at Worlds. And I'd love to get a silver or bronze in the 100 free. But power swimming is the most unpredictable thing in the world.
People show up
turn
like
up at their trials just out of nowhere. And I'll be like, wow. Like, or they'll come from 8 years ago. It just is that type of sport where people just turn up and you just have to kind of expect for someone to be there. Because I was that person in 2019. I was the young kid that wasn't on rankings until a couple months before and I saw someone's medal. Like, I was that person.
Yeah.
So I expect that person at a world, but especially at a games.
Yeah.
I haven't seen one of my competitors from Tokyo since.
Okay.
Will she come back next year? Maybe. Mm. Who knows? She's not race, but who knows?
So if there's that young para swimmer who is looking to almost step into your shoes and sort of, let's say, steal a medal, if you like, what advice would you give to that British swimmer?
Find a club where you enjoy the environment. I think a lot of people will move to these big clubs because they'll get the better training and they'll get this and that. But that might not be the environment you enjoy, and no one swims well in a bad environment.
I like it. I love it. Well, Elliot, it's been a lot of fun talking to you. We usually finish these podcasts with some quick fire questions. We'll rattle through them to finish. So what is your favourite event?
50 breaststroke.
Ooh, almost 50. Who is your swimming idol?
Ellie Simmons.
Of course. Nice. What is your proudest moment in swimming so far?
Silver in Tokyo.
What is the hardest set you've ever done in training?
Oh, I did 15 100s. But this was when I was at my disability club and I'd never done a threshold set before. And I went on a British swimming camp.
Ow.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
That sounds fun. To get to know you a little bit away from a swimming pool, if you were to go on a road trip, there's three spaces in the car. You can take friends, family, celebrities, anyone you want. Who would you take with you?
Okay. So, Lando Norris.
The driver.
Nice. Yeah.
Love bit of F1. Ed Sheeran.
Mm-hmm. Music, sorted.
Love Ed Sheeran. Oh, who would I take? We'll go Fern, my friend Fern, because I feel like it would be like a really funny environment.
Nice. Well, Ellie, thank you so much for coming on to this week's episode of the Propulsion Swimming Podcast. Best of luck as you get back into the water after your surgery, and hopefully we see you in London for trials and then in Paris after that.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you for coming on, and I think there's a lot of messages to be said there, like just got to enjoy it. If you enjoy it, then you can bring the best out of yourself. So best of luck for this season. It's a big season, and I'm glad the surgery went well.
Thank you.
So, Dan, like really, really good to speak to one of British swimming's leading para swimmers. Like we've said so many times here at Propulsion Swimming, the para swimmers in this country are leaps and bounds ahead of the able body swimmers. Mm. Like it's just a fact. They are incredible. And Ellie is one of those swimmers leading the charge into Paris. Hopefully, if she qualifies, of course. I don't really have any doubt in that.
No.
And it's just how far her ceiling is, because she's really only just getting started in the sport of swimming, despite the list of achievements, the time in the sport, the accolades already.
Yeah, I mean, I was actually going to start without the accolades. I'm going to say, like, the social side of things. Like, she seems to be really enjoying it.
Yeah.
Like, it's all about, not even really about her sometimes, it's about other swimmers. Like, she was telling a story about another swimmer, and she was glad that that swimmer actually got a medal, you know, and she was able to tell that swimmer, and, it's actually very good. And I think that's a thing about para swimming. It's not about themselves. It's all about the rest.
Yeah,
not even, like Team GB. It's the rest of the para swimming in general.
I think it's a reminder of the power of family in swimming, like community in swimming. Yes, she has won golds on a world level. She's won medals at Tokyo, at Paralympics. But actually, so much of what she gets from this sport is social aspect and enjoyment and seeing friends and going. And now she's got friends at training every day that she were her best mates in the pool. It gives something else to athletes. And maybe when we cover the elite swimming like we do week in, week out, where we speak to the likes of Duncan Scott, Adam Peaty, it's all about this goal. And sometimes it gets lost of just the power of a team in swimming, like the enjoyment of the sport. And I wouldn't say it humbled me, but it reminded me of the good of swimming away from results and performance.
Yeah, and we've talked about it for so long. Like, our best friends are swimmers. We don't speak to them very often. We see them once, twice a year. But because of all the journey you've been through, let's say the pain and training, and then the memories, there's different stories. Like, when we finished recording with Ellie, she told us another, like, three stories afterwards.
Yeah, we were there for another half
hour. She's a brilliant storyteller. So if you do see her at trials, then grab her, have a chat with her, because she will tell you every story, and some of them are hilarious.
They're really good.
So it was great to have her on, and I wish her the best of luck, because I think she deserves it, and I think she will go to Paris, all barring, you know, good swims, no DQs or anything like that. So we'll see her at trials.
She certainly is becoming a bit of an icon for para swimming and an inspiration, especially for those lower classifications.
Definitely.
Which is all important, as she said. So that just about rounds up this week's episode of the Propulsion Swimming Podcast. If you have enjoyed it, please subscribe on YouTube, Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And myself and Dan will be back next week as we start rounding down 2023.
I know, Thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll catch you on the next one.
You've been listening to the Propulsion Swimming Podcast with Scott and Dan. We want to thank you for joining us and invite you to subscribe to the show, as well as checking out the Propulsion Swimming YouTube channel for weekly tutorials and videos to get your swimming fix. We will be back next week. Until then, we'll catch you on the next one.